Welcome back to Arizona Edition on KAWC. I'm Lou Gum. Joel John is a Buckeye native and a candidate for the Arizona House. John is a Republican running in a district that has two Democratic incumbents, including House Minority Leader Charlene Fernandez. This is his first run for office.
Right off the bat, you're running in a district that's been pretty solidly Democratic for a while. What motivates you to run in this district? And then we'll get a little background on it.
Sure. One of the things that motivates me is I want to support small business. I run a small business. It's a small family agricultural irrigation business. And there are a lot of small businesses in District 4. And I'm all over the district, you know, being, I guess, native to the district. I do a lot of business throughout the district, and I frequent a lot of establishments in the district. And so that's all I see throughout the district is small business. And anything I can do to make it easier to operate a small business. And what I mean by that is as much as I can, try to eliminate or do away with any unnecessary regulations or the regulatory burden on businesses. And that's kind of a unseen burden. A lot of people don't realize, and even a lot of business owners have just come to be generally accepted that this is what I have to do to operate business. But if there's anything that's unnecessary that business owners that they have to do that make it burdensome, that I guess don't directly contribute to the running of their business or the product or service that they're offering.
And you have a background in the ag industry in the Buckeye area.
Yes. So born and raised in Buckeye. Well, I say technically born. Case of, there's a fact check. I was born at Good Sam in Phoenix because there's no hospital in Buckeye, at least that I knew of at the time. But, you know, practically born and raised in Buckeye. My family's a fourth-generation Arizonan. Family's been in the state probably since the late 1800s and in District 4, quite literally in District 4, probably since the mid-1900s. When my grandfather came over from Graham County in their mid-1900s and started farming in the area. And I grew up in that. My father operated an agricultural chemical business. My grandpa operated his farm. I kind of split my time between working between those two businesses. And, you know, my parents, still farmers, District 4 residents, District 4 farmers, alfalfa farmers. And so, you know, hardworking people. You probably never meet a more hardworking guy than my dad. 72 years old. He'll be 72 years old this year, and he's still farming, still working, loving it, you know, and he'll probably never quit. And so, like I said, that's something that's very important to me, especially the agricultural industry in this district. And
in the Phoenix metro area, is Buckeye considered rural, or has it grown so much now that it sort of feeds into the metro area?
You know, I don't really know, but the way I see it is I think there's close to 80,000 residents in Buckeye, but it's very spread out over, I think, 650 square miles. So it doesn't feel terribly urban. It still feels kind of spread out. You have some kind of centers that are there's where there's a lot of people and a lot of businesses, you know, main commercial centers. But given that it's so spread out, it doesn't take long to get out of your subdivision and then you're out in the desert or you're out in the farmland. And so it's to me, it still feels pretty rural.
How would you ensure that areas that are more rural in parts of District 4 or some quite rural areas in District 4 have that representation? And what does knowing about a community like Buckeye inform you of for those communities?
I consider Buckeye its own entity, its own community, the way I would view Yuma, its own community with its own issues that are important to it. And so I don't view it personally as part of the valley or part of, you know, the Phoenix metro area. And so, you know, to me, Buckeye's independent. It's got its own identity, its own community, the way that Yuma does. And one thing, doing this, being a first-time candidate, getting to know Yuma a little bit, the Yuma County area and people in it, I'm really impressed by the residents here who seem to be just very community conscious, very politically active. And it seems to me that a lot of people here, they just want to do what's best for the community, regardless of, you know, whatever the issue is. This is unique to Yuma County. Let's work on this. And so I'm really impressed just by the people here and their involvement with the community politically.
What do you think your learning curve is for District 4? What have you been really focused on? Something that, hey, I need to learn more about this if I'm going to represent this district.
But maybe specifically Yuma County. Just growing up in Buckeye, you know, I've been to Yuma numerous times, but haven't lived here. You know, I have a couple cousins that grew up in Yuma County, out in the Rollwelton area.
For example, there's an entire border stretch of District 4. Do you feel like you've been communicating or heard communication about what people feel like living in this part of the border?
You know, maybe not. I think border security is important, especially for the people that live on the border. I think that's important. But, you know, again, this is a very important part of the district. Lots of residents in the district, a lot of voters. And so, you know, I'm eager to get down here and meet with more voters and learn what's important to them. I've already done that a little bit. I do need to do more of that, especially once the primary is over.
You are a former educator. How does education inform your desire to run for office?
That's a good question. So I used to be a music teacher in the Buckeye Elementary School District. Taught there for a few years. I really enjoyed it. I think there were 900 some odd kids in the school. I actually learned all their names. I made a point to learn all their names. I occasionally still see kids in the community. So one of the things that I think about when it comes to education, I think about, like I said, the kids that I knew. I think about the parents that I knew. I think about the superintendents of the school that my kids go to. I think about the superintendent that I worked under when I was teaching, this principal who's in District 4 and lives in the community next door. I think about those and a lot of the hardworking teachers that I worked with. I think about them when I think about education issues. And, you know, I want to support them. So I know what it's like to have worked and not made a whole lot of money. When I started teaching school, I'd worked for several years and had, you know, other background and other things I'd done. And, you know, by that time I was married, had kids. And I was kind of surprised when I signed that first contract. You know, the pay, I thought, oh, wow, this... people were right. Teachers don't make a whole lot. And so as a result, you know, I'd had a commercial driver's license for years and drove a truck off and on. And so that was what I did during the summer and made pretty good money doing that. And that helped support my ability to be able to go back and teach school during the rest of the year. So those are things that come into play, you know. And I think a lot of what's done so far has been good as far as trying to focus on raising teacher pay and make sure that money gets in the classroom. And so, I want to continue to do that.
Your campaign period has been marked by this pandemic. What have been the challenges in connecting with the rest of the district?
One of the challenges is just I think there would be a lot more events, you know, meet and greet type of events for candidates than there are. There haven't been quite as many. There are still some. I don't think they're as well attended because of it. So that's been a challenge. You know, just people just aren't out and about like they are at community events. A lot of the community events where you could go and meet candidates or meet voters, those aren't going on. And so that's been a challenge. I was one of the lucky ones that got on the signatures really early and got that done before COVID hit. So I wasn't scrambling at the end. So yeah. I was kind of happy about that. But yeah, it's a challenge just being able to be where voters are and meet them at community events, at meet and greets.
You've got a few weeks before the primary. What's your focus going to be in these next few weeks?
Next week's probably just getting out, knocking doors, meeting voters. I've done quite a bit of that. I did that on, just last Saturday. I got out and knocked doors in the afternoon, and, it was about 115 degrees. But I grew up here, and I feel like, you know, as long as I got cold water, I can handle it. And as soon as I ran out of water, I quit and went back home. But that's kind of my focus. An interesting thing about South County, Somers and San Luis, a lot of Hispanic residents, a lot of Spanish-speaking residents. I actually spent a couple of years in South America, and then working in agriculture, I deal a lot with people who speak Spanish, so I've become quite fluent over the years. And that's one of my favorite things to do is actually surprise people when they look at me and they don't think I can speak Spanish, and then I speak Spanish to them, and they, you know, that's, I've always enjoyed kind of doing that. And so I'm eager to get out and meet voters, especially those that speak Spanish. And, you know, that's always, I've always gotten pleasant, people are always pleasantly surprised, especially Spanish speakers, when, you know, they look at me, they don't expect me to speak Spanish. And then when I speak to them and speak it well, they're always surprised and pleasantly so. And it's always been, it's always been a way to bridge a gap and bridge a divide. And, there's a language barrier there. Suddenly it's gone. And, suddenly, probably one of the greatest things I learned being in South America for a couple of years was that we're all just people, despite our differences in languages and cultures and, country of origin and things like that, that we're all just people. And that allows me to, look past a lot of that and just view somebody as just a person. And we're just two people talking, working, or whatever it is we're doing. And so I'm eager to meet as many voters as I can, speak to them in their native language, and hopefully get some support from those people.
So, Joel John, where can people find out more about you, the positions that you hold, get a little more information?
Yeah, so my website is joeljohn.com, and they can also find me on Facebook at Joel John for House. And I also have a Facebook page directed towards Spanish speakers. It's Joel John. Well, in Spanish, I'd say Joel John para Diputado Estatal.
Well, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right.
Glad to be here.
Joel John is running for the Arizona House in Legislative District 4. That's Arizona Edition for this week. I'm Lou Gumm. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.